I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Jeffrey, let's get to the fight song roundup.
This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove I'm all right song. Cause I still got a lot of fight left in me.
There it is. Greatest fight song in the land. Never sounded better than Michigan rolling over Ohio State. Most watched regular season game since 2011 in college football. 17 million people watched that. 17 people shook their heads when Ryan Day, down 24-20, punted from the Michigan 43. 17 million people saw J.J. McCarthy light up that Ohio State defense. No Blake Corum, didn't matter. Touchdowns of 69, 75, 45, 75, and 85 yards. Michigan rolls. Jeffrey?
It was a game of explosive plays. I mean, for the most part...
Chunk plays, I like to call
them. Yeah, I mean, for the most part...
Call them chunk plays.
Down to down, Ohio State was... pretty good against Michigan, but Michigan, I mean, when they were scheming up plays, it was like 75 yards. Like, you just read out the numbers. Like
69, 75, 45, 75, 85.
And
unbelievable for Michigan.
I mean, it was basically...
how the worm has turned.
Didn't you think Ohio State played scared?
It's certainly playing scared to not go for it on freaking...
like, in the entire second half,
from the Michigan 43 when you trail 24-20 and you have a quarterback who's supposed to be winning the Heisman, no longer.
I have no idea what to make of him. I don't think... you just don't know if he's any good or not because he's just got... like, every receiver they have, it's just a stud.
Yeah. 45-23. They now play Purdue. There's an argument, by the way, that Michigan should be number one in the country. Their best wins, if you go by ranking, over Ohio State and Penn State, better than Georgia's best wins. They won't be, though.
I don't
people
think Georgia
will
is
also
done.
Remember Georgia
Georgia's also the defending
last year.
National champion
yeah.
that has gone 12-0.
And they, like, beat the hell out of Michigan last
right, like,
year. Like, you know, there's no way they're going to be. But you can make an argument.
Georgia has done nothing to...
to lose it, right?
Yes.
If every year is supposed to be new. But, yes, Georgia will be
every
number
week's
one.
Supposed to be new, Jeff.
Georgia's going to be number one. Michigan's number two. All right. Next. How about that? How about... you know, it's funny, weird how it doesn't actually take 4 years to build a football program.
No, I mean, what is the stat now? I guess maybe the top 15 is going to change again, but it's like 7 of the top 13 teams in the college football playoff had first or second year head coaches.
And your Heisman Trophy winner will be Caleb Williams, or do you think he's got to beat Utah?
I think he's going to win by default.
Well, now people already start voting. I used to have a Heisman vote. They stripped it from me at some point. Don't know why. It's probably for my off-the-field shenanigans.
Yeah.
But USC beats Notre Dame 38-27.
I mean, I don't see another candidate. Like, that's
Caleb
the problem.
Williams.
So Michigan doesn't have a clear candidate. Georgia doesn't have a clear candidate. I think at this point he's just going to
win. He throws three picks. So anyway, yeah, people are gonna be voting for him this week. Is my point. A lot of people don't wait until.
Yeah, well, a lot of people watch their first college football game.
That's
this
true too. Anyway, good for USC. Well, right now, the playoff is it's not compelling because Georgia feels so clearly like the best team, right? But geographically, you got Michigan.
It's kind of what
Georgia.
They want.
Yeah. You got TCU and you got USC?
Shout out to the ACC.
Shout out to the ACC. All right, next. Playing this song over and over and over and over. Undefeated TCU, 62-14 over Iowa State.
28 second half points.
I think, you know, there are those who say that TCU, if they lose to K-State, may be out. I don't know.
Well, it's here's the problem.
I think the team that is in more jeopardy if they lose is USC.
I think that's fair, but the committee does this weird distinction of, like, the problem is, if you drop TCU out after they lose, and as long as it's a close game, the message you're sending is, don't play a championship game. Which is ironic, because the Big 12, when they had Baylor and TCU back in, what, 2014, the message was, we'll play a conference championship game. Right. Well, it's like, now they'd be better off not.
I think TCU... They got 8 wins over bowl teams. And then if you compare them to USC, like USC didn't have to play Washington or Oregon. And 6 of their teams are against teams with losing records. They did beat UCLA, Notre Dame, and Oregon State.
Do we know if any of those teams are good?
No, but they're ranked. I mean, if we're just going numerically,
yeah,
they will be ranked. So I honestly think TCU has a good argument that they're in even if they lose to K-State. And K-State... look great against Kansas. So what's the line in that one, do you know?
I'm sure it's like 2 or 3. I mean, that's basically where every line has just lived for TCU games. Let's see, school. So if it would pull up. So USC and Utah, the line is USC -3, TCU -2.5. That's where TCU lines live.
-2.5.
Georgia by 17.5. Tulane favored over UCF.
All right, next. Listen, beating Vanderbilt. We're not playing this because they beat Vanderbilt. Although they did beat the hell out of Vanderbilt. With a backup quarterback.
Well, and a lot of people were like, oh, this is the spot.
We're playing this in celebration of their year.
Well, indeed, no, I also played in celebration of, I know he is not a good quarterback, but damn it, when Joe Milton makes a throw, first throw of the game,
he's
you're just like, this is the greatest football player of all time.
You can see why people
will. Yes, yeah. It's like, good God. And then he throws 10 more passes, and you're like, oh yeah, there's Joe Milton. The Joe Milton deep ball, if you are just judging a player on his best moment, Joe Milton could be the most talented quarterback in the country.
Let me ask you this. Why, there are those who would say that if, let's say TCU, USC lose, and let's just say they drop out, okay?
One or
the other, whatever else. Who is there to take the spot? You would argue Ohio State is dead.
Ohio State should be dead.
I don't think they are dead, though.
I think they should be, but we'll see. They typically do not like when you get blown out.
They've got wins over Penn State and Notre Dame.
Okay.
Alabama is the other team that is being that people are tossing around, right? Their best wins who? Who do they have to compare to Penn State and Notre Dame? Texas and Ole Miss?
Yeah, I guess.
That's not very good.
But you have to look at it this way.
That's not very good.
They have lost 2 games by a combined 4 points, and there was 0 time on the clock in either game.
I know, but literally you are then giving them credit for losing gallantly.
Right, but they did not get blown out.
They've lost twice. Ohio State has lost once, and Ohio State's wins, Penn State and Notre Dame, are better than Alabama's wins. But here's my larger question. If you're going to consider Alabama, why the hell aren't you considering Tennessee?
For the record, I'm not making the argument. I'm telling you what the committee has historically done.
But shouldn't
when you get blown out, they drop you. When you get blown out.
Shouldn't, on merits, who had a better season, Tennessee or Alabama?
Well, Tennessee beat Alabama.
I know. Tennessee beat Alabama. Tennessee beat LSU.
But Tennessee also gets 63 as a 22-point favorite.
Alabama's best wins are against Texas and Ole Miss. I think Tennessee should be ahead of Alabama. Who do you think in that circumstance? So one of them loses and drops, okay? And you got to elevate one of them.
You also have to remember they're going to factor in that.
You think they
elevate
Alabama.
They're going to factor in also with Tennessee that they don't have their starting quarterback.
Well, that's fair.
Yes.
But who do you think they will elevate? If they do
Alabama.
Come to elevate one of the three.
Alabama.
One of the two. They're not going to elevate Tennessee. If they're going to have it would be Alabama, Ohio
Alabama.
State, you think it's Alabama?
Yes.
All right, what's next?
Well, I guess you could argue this is also one of Alabama's best wins.
Yeah, I guess you could argue that. Mississippi State wins the Egg Bowl.
This is a weird game.
Expand.
So Ole Miss...
Was it the chair throwing that made it a weird game?
No, not even that. It was just Ole Miss jumped out... 16-7. And it felt like they were just going to kind of cruise to kind of like a ugly whatever win by a score or more. And then the last possession of the first half, the game flips. Will Rogers was not very good. State turns the ball over three times and still wins. It was just a bizarre game. Like Ole Miss was
and how
rolling
critical
until
are
they
you
weren't.
Of the... timeout situation there with Lane.
Oh, I mean, that cost them the chance of getting
clearly,
the ball back.
Bye-bye. Right.
Now,
two timeouts before a two-point conversion that doesn't work.
Now,
if Ryan Silverfield had done that, we'd be murdering him for it, right?
I do think it's important to note the play that they called was about to be a walk-in, and the defensive lineman made a unbelievable play.
Yes.
Like, it was wide open. So you can make the argument if you against the Andy Reid. What's more valuable, the timeout to stop the clock or the timeout to get the scoring play? Like, that's one of the...
Yes, but that's judged by if you get it or not.
The problem is you have got to call two. Why were you, you know... And Lane was upset because they substituted and the play clock ran down. But, I mean, the reality is, like, you have to say... At that point, to me, the timeouts are more valuable to get the ball back to win.
Lane, nevertheless...
But I mean, like, yeah, this
after
point,
losing
like,
4 of 5 down the stretch, gets a new deal, $9 million for as long as 8 years. Is that your understanding?
Six years.
And I saw people saying, "This is ridiculous. This is crazy. He's lost 4 out of 5. He's been mediocre." He's Rick Cleveland wrote a column, basically saying that, and I saw Dan Wolken tweeted it, and all of that. If I'm an Ole Miss fan, I don't care how much he makes. And would I rather have Lane Kiffin than any other coach who would take the job? Yes. And so I'm happy he is staying because he gives me hope. And sure, this year ended badly, and maybe partly the distractions didn't help.
It's a big part. The big problem, though, with Lane right now and in that fan base, they are frustrated at every single year.
Oh, no, this is doing it again.
Yes. And,
right.
And at a certain
and,
point.
And so, and, like, is he going to do it again next year?
Of course. I mean, yes, obviously. And that's the Lane Kiffin life cycle.
Right. And that becomes.
I mean, at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin's the same thing as Chris Jenner.
At some point, that becomes irritating. I was hearing, I was listening to the morning show. They were talking about when the Packers finally moved on from Brett Favre. And it's sort of like that. At some point, you're like, screw it.
Yes.
Screw it. We're done.
Now,
go,
it helped
go, go.
That you had Aaron Rodgers.
Right. It helped you have Aaron Rodgers. But listen, you're better off with Lane Kiffin than with anyone else. And I don't care if he makes $7 million or $9 million or $14 million. Why do I give a flip? The only reason I would care is that if he fails, it makes it harder to fire him. But I don't think he's going to fail. He's going to be Lane Kiffin. If anything, he's going to leave you, but he's not going to fail.
Right.
Not worried about the buyout.
The frustration is that.
Yeah,
it's the,
and I
yet
totally
yet
that.
Again, here
it's,
we
you
are.
You know, it's the frustration that Memphis had with Calipari.
Yes, every single year.
It's the price you pay for outkicking your coverage a little bit.
No, Dayton Hotchick.
Yeah, it's the price you pay for Dayton Hotchick.
She's got options.
She's got options. Just true. It's but it's Listen, it's better than dating Josh Pastner. And I like Josh Pastner. He's got a good personality. It's
better than dating Tubby.
Better than dating Tubby. All right, next. Hey, shout out to Mississippi State. Listen, we can't play favorites here. We could have blown up other. There were other options here, by the way. So, I think Oregon would have qualified, right?
I would rather not talk about that game.
Oregon up 31-10 in the third.
No, they were up 31. They were up 34. I think they were up 34-10.
I think we could have blown up Arkansas. Arkansas had a disappointing year. We knew there would be a struggle because the schedule.
Yeah, and I think that. They went so injuries all hurt. Out to beat Ole Miss. Like, you can kind of see that spot. And then Missouri's playing for the bowl game. And, like, it was a tough spot.
We could have celebrated Tulane beating Cincinnati 27-24 from two wins. And now they will play UCF in the title game. So good for Tulane.
Yep.
We could have blown up LSU.
Oh, for sure.
Which gave up 38 points to an A&M team that scored 20 against UMass.
Mm-hmm.
So we could have
very different A&M team.
Yes, but still, they did run the ball.
What was obvious is A&M. Part of the salary program is you had to play that game. that was clearly part of like your if you wanted to get your signing bonus like you had to play the LSU game.
We could have celebrated Florida State, Mike Norvell. How about that? Mike Norvell, they were 4-3 at one point this year.
Yep.
People were talking about Dion. And then they win five straight. This year, Mike Norvell has beaten LSU, Miami, and Florida. That beating Miami and Florida plays well at Florida
For
State.
For sure.
And so anyone else we could have blown up Clemson, certainly, or celebrated
yes.
South Carolina. How about that? South Carolina with two massive wins down the stretch. But we can't shy away from the fact that, listen, before this season began, I went to an event at the Memphis food, what's it called, where they, you know, the food bank. And the Memphis, they were all volunteering there. The players were volunteering there. Laird was there. And Laird said, this is a big year, man. This is a big year because they got to get back on the trajectory. We understand that six wins in last year was not acceptable and whatever else. And then you had a year that duplicated that.
Win total was 7.5.
And nothing. And by the way, the win total is only because this is not at the program,
yeah.
the place the program had been. Listen, as I've said before, this idea that six wins is the new minimum. No, they went a six-year period where the low bar was eight wins.
Yes.
And the high bar was 12.
Right.
Where they were between 8 and 12 for six straight years. Instead, you're down to six wins, and by only six wins by beating an FCS team that was freaking horrible. Attendance is down, scoring is down, interest is down.
But hey, give more money.
Wins are down. And yeah, and are the answers to give more money? Like, that doesn't inspire you to give more money.
Correct.
And by the way,
it's also rewarding bad behavior.
And neither of the people who are in charge seem like their strength is raising money.
Correct, which is a problem.
Which is a problem. So I got to blow them up. But I've always been of this view. Once a course is settled on, I want it to work. Like, once the Grizzlies draft Hashim Thabeet, I want him to be a stud. Once the Tigers hire Tubby, I want him to be magnificent. Win another national championship. Even if there are things I don't agree with, I want them to work out.